Tausch. Thanks to Homer for coming back after his... Was that a shtick? Do you believe him that he was hanging up because he was afraid of what he might say next? That might be mean, out of control? That's right. It was effective. I know that. But we appreciate him coming back. I look forward to talking to him later today again. With the Marquette Hall of Famer Tony Smith each weekday, 2 to 4 on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. In the 11 o'clock hour, get ready for trivia. This is your streaming warning that we're going to play trivia at some point. See if you can be anticipatory. We'll also do Wonelli. But first, Greg Matzik, our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe, are better. Greg, you've got some thoughts on the optimism that James Jones continues to share. He was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, I believe. He has been on the NFL Network, which employs him repeatedly, sharing some optimism, fixable remarks. Again, I don't know to what degree he and Aaron Rodgers are communicating. Talking, texting, I don't want to get into that debate like we had at the AFAM Championship. I don't know how much correspondence there has been between them. But before we get your thoughts, let's let Jesse play something that now this is not from Pat McAfee when he appeared there. This is from one of his original appearances earlier this week on the NFL Network.
Pump your brakes and just relax. Listen, I have a very good relationship with Mark Murphy. Mark Murphy has a very good relationship with all of his players. Listen, he still calls me to this day, checking on me, checking on my family. And that's what I'm going to say about Aaron. If you have a relationship with Aaron Rodgers, no, he's not a complicated fella. And that's what anything. You are talking about the future of a Hall of Fame quarterback's career. Yeah, it's going to be complicated. He wants some things, you want some things. So it's going to be complicated, but... Listening to Mark Murphy talk, I am not reading into it too much. I'm pumping my brakes, MJ. I am relaxing. Don't read too much into it. I know Mark personally. Mark loves all his players. And yes, this situation is complicated because you're dealing with a guy who wants certain things. You're dealing with an organization who wants some things. And you're trying to come together as one to get this thing fixed. So it's going to be a little complicated. I have a great relationship with Aaron Rodgers. Nothing has ever been complicated about me and Aaron Rodgers' relationship. So when you do have a relationship with him, MJ, no, it is not complicated. So get together, get a relationship with Aaron Rodgers like I have one, and get this thing together, get it fixed.
So that's some of the things that he has said, Greg. He's also repeatedly said it's fixable. He's talked to Aaron Rodgers. It's not about the GM. He said a lot of different things, and you have a lot of different thoughts.
There are a few buckets of folks in the media, ex-athletes, the combo platter of which James Jones is, that I sort of, I pour water in each one of these buckets. I am in the bucket of media member who has a take that evolves, a take that tries to soak in as much information, but I do not know behind closed doors what the conversations are between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, or if they're happening. I have not had conversation with Aaron Rodgers. I have not had conversation with Goody, and aside of hearing from Matt LaFleur and his comments, which have become public, that's about the extent of my true knowledge. So I formulate an opinion based upon the information that I gather. I am in the bucket with most members of the media. Jason, I have you in a separate bucket. You're a member of the media who has a relationship with Aaron Rodgers. And you have said that you have had contact with him. I think you have a better understanding of Aaron than any member of the media on planet Earth. You are in your own bucket. There is the bucket that includes members of the media who are also friends with Aaron and past teammates. James Jones is in that bucket. Now, the other interesting thing about James Jones's bucket is that not only is he friends with Aaron Rodgers, but who cuts him a check every year? The Green Bay Packers. Indeed. So his comments, anytime he says something, it's Switzerland. Right? It is so middle of the road. Does Mark Murphy love his players? Well, sure, okay. James Jones says it. He's been in that locker room before. Does James and Aaron have a good relationship? I presume they do. Former teammates, right? Great connection on the field, connection off the field. So Not that I don't believe James Jones, but I do wonder if he'll ever have a definitive, strong opinion one way or the other. And my feeling is no, he won't, because he's friends with one entity and a former teammate of one entity, and he's employed by the other. So anytime James Jones speaks, I feel like we're coming back to neutral. You don't really get anything out of it.
I think he also, Greg, wants a happy ending to this story for the team that he played for and for the quarterback that he loves that was one of his favorite teammates, right? I mean, he, at his core, is a Packers fan and an Aaron Rodgers fan, which is why he, as you so eloquently put it, is Switzerland. As opposed to Jesse, who is a Packers fan, but is a... how would you describe your feeling for Aaron Rodgers? You tolerate him? You appreciate how good he is?
Way better than that, Jason. I wouldn't be best friends with the guy, Aaron Rodgers, but I want him to be the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers because he's a Hall of Fame player and one of the best to ever do it. Like, I really like Aaron Rodgers as the football player and the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. Like, I'm excited to watch him suit up in green and gold and quarterback the team, hopefully on a Super Bowl run year after year, as I have since the early stages of the 2010 decade. Like, over the last 10, 12 years, I have been super excited to see Aaron Rodgers be the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers week in and week out. Like, I'm sick of the games, I'm sick of the off-field stuff, but I love him as the quarterback. I want him out there. There is no one else that I want to be the quarterback of the Packers than Aaron Rodgers.
Other than Brett Favre, if he was still young enough to play.
Yeah, or maybe this year, you know, Jordan Love, Brett Favre. I think there's a conversation to be had there, yeah.
So if he wants this to end happily, Greg, and as you point out, he's on the Packers radio network, he is walking a line. You heard him in that clip. He's got a great relationship with Mark Murphy. Mark Murphy still calls and checks on how he's doing. I guess the problem is that when he speaks, because he's gotten a lot of run in the last 2 days, right? I mean, there has been a lot of attention on his comments. He appeared on Pat McAfee's show. I don't know. He keeps saying that he and Aaron talk all the time. Like, when you say that, you are representing what that person told you to some degree. Whether you are doing it or not, that is the presumption from the people that are hearing you speak. That's how I think of the things that I say and why I am very vigilant about how I present things, because I know that there are a lot of folks that will hear me say what I do, and they'll think, well, he talks to Rodgers. That's probably coming from him to some degree. And I try to say, this is just my opinion, when it's not. I don't know what to make of what Aaron Jones has said and how much of that is him serving as, you know, people use the term surrogate. Is he being a surrogate for Rodgers? Is he just trying to help the situation? Is he trying to help the team? I just don't know what to make of it, and I say that as someone who really likes James Jones.
Yeah, and I think, to some degree, I think A.J. Hawk is in that category, and John Kuhn perhaps is in that category. Kuhn probably a little more neutral on the situation, given his similar status as James Jones, as an employee of the Packers and former teammate of Aaron Rodgers. And they haven't had near the run that James Jones has had, but the presumption is, as you articulated, when I hear James Jones speak, I feel like Aaron is using James Jones as one of those surrogates, as you mentioned, to convey a message. And when John Kuhn said 70% chance he'll be back, and they've used the term, it's fixable, my thought is that's coming from Aaron Rodgers. Whether true or not, I really don't know, but that's my presumption, right, based upon what I know of their relationship. So I think that's that. Not that it's dangerous, but I think if... I think Aaron could say, hey, pump the brakes on yourself here, Kat. We haven't chatted in a while. Or, you know what I mean? Like, clear the air that way so he's not being dragged
Good
through
point.
The mud unnecessarily.
So that may answer this question on the ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line at 844-770-3776. Ray in Milwaukee. Why does it seem that anytime anyone gives a positive take or insight on the Rodgers debacle, people always try to discredit it? Seems we really want to buy in on the negative news.
I'm trying to hone in on the truth. I'm trying to figure out what's real. And the truth is, James Jones is right down the middle on this. And he needs to be.
I would answer Ray thusly. If the we is actually me, because I haven't been given that level in my conversations or text messages, I haven't been given that level of optimism. Look, I want to be very clear. I am not rooting for anything truly other than a resolution. Okay? I have not enjoyed this at all. I lived through 2008. There is part of me that wonders how Mark Murphy, as the team president, lived through 2008, had the PR struggles that the team did, including his suitcase full of cash for Brett Favre, and has managed to have more PR struggles. I'm not saying who's winning or losing the PR battle. I'm just saying that they have had their own missteps as a team. I don't want to do this again. I want Aaron Rodgers to show up on July 27th and training camp to move forward. And we'll have a Zoom call with him, or we'll talk to him on the field, or whatever our access is going to be. I would like to be back in the locker room. I'm vaccinated and have had COVID, so I'd like to go in. But I'd like him to address it, and then I'd like to get back to football. And talking about how he makes up for the time he missed in the offseason, and how the offense is going to evolve, and the challenges of playing in full stadiums after having largely silenced the play in some hostile environments. All those things that are why we actually are interested in the 2021 season. Beyond that, from a perspective of someone who is chronicling a team and wants them to be interesting and relevant, I want him to come back and finish his career in Green Bay. I'd like to see them win another title. I'd like to see him affect change in a culture that he believes needs changing. I would like to see acknowledgement by some that it does need changing. Those are all compelling storylines. But I can assure you that in no way am I discrediting any positivity, because I don't want there to be positivity about him returning. Tausch and I are both on the record saying that we believe that his situation most likely ends this year with him returning at some point. Because I don't think the trade options are there. I think his best play is to come back this year, maybe get an opt-out clause so the Packers can prove things are different, and he can decide whether or not he wants to sign on for more years. Okay? But no, Ray, and we appreciate the text, 844-770-3776, the talk and text line. We appreciate that. But no, I am not in any way rooting for the negative. I just don't know the degree to how much James Jones has interacted with Aaron Rodgers. And I try to be transparent about how much I interact with him, so you have some idea of what I'm basing my opinion on. I don't know how much James Jones has talked to Aaron. I don't know how much he's representing Aaron Rodgers' position. And that would be why I have some measure of skepticism to what he says sometimes, because that is not the representation I have received. We do need to receive the fourth caller to play Wilde and Tausch trivia.
Yeehaw!
I think you'd be better off with Scooby-Doo. Also, I don't know if Greg is lowering his chair or his camera is moving on its own.
Wow.
He looked like he was the Wicked Witch of the West, and he was
I'm melting!
It's on our one of these stand-up desk things. These are fun to play with. And now I can stand to get my back a little
whatever
bit of
whatever works
of a
for your back is what really matters.
Oh, dude,
we want you to not be in so much pain. You could be in pain if Jesse made the questions too hard today. Caller 4 right now, 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Jesse, today's Will the Entouch trivia category is...
It may not be painful because they're hard. It may be painful because of the memories they bring up. But in, quote-unquote, honor of last night's loss to the Brooklyn Nets, today's category, Big Bucks Losses.
Nice. Caller 4 right now, 844-770-3776. We'll play next. It's Will the Entouch.
Wildy and Tausch continues next on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Someday we're going to get the Microsoft Teams video feed sponsored and put onto, like, Twitch. But we don't have that yet. It means you did not get to see Jesse Nelson busting a move. Was that the kind of dancing I missed out on by not attending your wedding?
Yes.
And that's another win for me. Time now for trivia. Let's welcome in our frequent contestant. Our run of first-time contestants ends at 2. Now, as someone who appreciates loyalty, I want to be clear, Dan and Brother Town, we're always happy to hear from you. But I really get excited when we get our new callers for trivia. Nevertheless, Dan, we're happy to have you as well. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
Play a little Will the Entouch trivia. Again, the category, Big Bucks Losses. Gregory, you're up, buddy.
All right, here we go. Question number one. The Bucks lost game 6 of their opening round of the 2015 playoffs at home by 54 points. Do you remember it? Were you there? Which team was the Bucks' opponent in that series? Was it the Chicago Bulls, the Atlanta Hawks, or the Washington Generals?
I'm going to go with the Chicago Bulls.
That is correct. Off and running.
Wow. I have no recollection of that.
Oh, God.
legendary stuff in that brutal game. That was because you felt kind of optimistic. It was at the very beginning of the whole Fear the Deer thing and, like, built to stay. And Giannis tackled Mike Dunleavy, and that was the end of that season. Like, it got bad in a hurry.
Oh, now I remember. Yeah, that's right. He did something. I'm glad he did, too.
Looked like a middle linebacker going after Mike Dunleavy. Yeah.
Well done. I just knew it wasn't the Washington Generals. Question 2, Dan. Which player was suspended for Game 7 of the 2001 Eastern Conference Finals, memorably covered for the Wisconsin State Journal by one Jason Wilde? Remembered by many as one of the reasons the Bucks lost that Game 7 to the Philadelphia 76ers. Was that player Glenn Robinson, Scott Williams, or Irvin Johnson?
Scott Williams.
By the way, that Irvin Johnson, not to be confused with Irvin Magic Johnson, which I always found amazing that there were two Irvin Johnsons in existence. One magical and one not.
One went to Michigan State, the other went to the University of New Orleans, for those keeping score at home. Question number three.
That's an entry for
much, Jesse.
It's an entry for Greg.
Wow.
Thank you very much. Which player was the leading scorer for the Bucks in their double overtime loss in Game 3 of the 2019 Eastern Conference Finals against the Raptors? Game 3. Ersan Ilyasova, George Hill, or Malcolm Brogdon?
I'm going to go with Hill or Ilyasova. I'll go with George Hill.
A clean sweep, Dan. Four entries for you into Friday's drawing. That would explain why they lost that game to some degree.
In a
right?
way.
When George Hill is your leading scorer.
But also, if George Hill's got 24 off the bench, you're feeling pretty good that the starters are getting the job done, you would think.
You still lost, and then you lost the series. Dan, well done, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. You have a great day.
You too. That is Wilde and Tausch Trivia. We'll play again tomorrow.
So where does last night rank among these? Like, I know the series isn't over yet, but it feels like last night stung pretty bad.
That was terrible. It was brutal for me. And Jason, I know you were in and out, but I mean, I was engaged, keeping notes, and you just felt the slow erosion happen. So that's as bad a loss, given the situation, given what this series means, given what this season means for the Bucks and their head coach. Up 17 to losing with an epic performance by a Hall of Famer. That's the headlines, but the Bucks did their share to allow that to happen without enough answers on offense.
My only question, since I rely on you guys for your Bucks memories, the Game 3 loss in which George Hill was the leading scorer, that was obviously a colossal missed opportunity. Because you win that game and it go up 3-0, and we know no one in NBA history has come back from 3-0, correct? So that one I would put because that was the Legends of the Fall. That was the beginning of the fall in that series. And so I guess I would, at this point today, not knowing how this series is going to turn out that we're in the midst of, I guess I would pick that Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
I guess the game against the Sixers would be worse because that was an elimination Game 7. The Bulls one, I would rank last night worse than losing to the Bulls by 54 because that was very early on and you knew the Bucks didn't have a chance to win a championship
right?
that year. They were just trying to be competitive for the first time in a while. So it's on the same tier as that Game 3. Not as bad as the collapse in Game 6 in Toronto, which was not included in trivia, but that's also in the running. But the fact that they didn't lose the series, but it feels like they may have lost the series, is the big factor in last night.
And honestly, Game 6, Greg, you were early in your career in 2001, because you're not as old as I am. But Game 6 of that Eastern Conference Finals, Glenn Robinson has a Giannis fumbling the ball moment. It wasn't to that degree. But he's got a short makeable shot that maybe leads to a victory in that game, and there isn't a Game 7. And he misses that shot, and obviously we know how that story ends in Game 7. All right, we need to get to Woe Nelly, which is everyone's favorite portion of the program if your name is Jesse or Ma and Pa Marcheski. And it's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
I hold out for one more drink before I think I'm looking too desperately, but so far has not been fun. I should just stay home if one thing really means one.
So we had, did you hear this, the terrible edition earlier?
3 weeks.
Jesse's got a little more audio up his sleeve of his V-neck t-shirt. palm trees on it that Becca likes, but I don't. During Whoa Now.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wilde and Tausch.
Greg, what the heck are you putting in front of your camera on the video chat?
Well, Jason could tell you. I received this from Jason.
Thoughtful gifts. It is a bobblehead of Tony La Russa. Now, before we do Wonella, you have to tell the story behind your run-in with the arbiter of all things right and wrong with baseball, one Tony La Russa, years and years ago.
Hey, Jesse, you've never heard this, perhaps.
No.
Maybe I could even find the audio. So there was an instance where the Brewers and Cardinals were playing hotly contested games. And it was the Ned Yost era and the Tony La Russa era in terms of managers. And I got over playing volleyball one night to see Ryan Braun get plunked in the back by Jason Mott, who was kind of a hard-throwing reliever. I had planned on going to get post-game sound anyway, but instead of going to the Brewers clubhouse, I decided to go to the Cardinals clubhouse. And La Russa was all hot and bothered because they pitched up and in on Pujols. And he kept talking about getting hit in the hand. And boy, it's so many bones in the hand, and you can't all this and that. So he was bothered by the whole thing. And then he called what they threw at Braun just kind of a warning shot. I don't want to hear any about this. He then called the Miller Park fans at that time idiots. So it was a conflagration of things here. And I simply stated that, you know, I said, well, do you understand that the ball to Braun looked intentional? The ball up and into Pujols didn't seem intentional. To which he challenged me. And then he started asking me questions. So we kind of went back and forth a little bit. It was not a pleasant exchange. If I'm being truthful, I was shaking, holding my recorder in Tony La Russa's face. I'll see if I can dig up the audio. I'll share it with you. But Jason, the thoughtful gift giver that he is and friend, when we merged companies and became one happy family, on my desk one day at Radio City, I saw a Tony La Russa bobblehead doll, courtesy of Jason Wilde. I believe this was a Goodwill find. Or maybe it was eBay. But I thought you said he got it.
Yeah, I think
Goodwill.
It was eBay.
I could be mistaken there.
Before my Goodwill commitment. But nevertheless, I don't like Tony La Russa, and I don't get the sense that you do either, and that's why it was funny to me.
Whoa, Nelly!
Just like the clown you got me the other day. Still appreciate my own little dunzo here in the studio. All right. Some audio I've gathered from various ESPN NBA analysts about the Bucks-Nets result last night and what lies ahead. Seth Greenberg on Get Up this morning said had some commentary on Kevin Durant's performance, and there's one part of this I want to ask you about after we get a chance to hear it.
He was incredibly efficient. He let everything come to him. He never chased anything. He had a quiet 49. And what I mean by quiet 49 is, you know, they hung around. You knew in the fourth quarter he was going to take over. But he didn't take a bad shot. He made the game easier for other people. You want to double team at him? He found Jeff Green to knock down wide open jump shots. He made the right play every single time down the floor. And then at the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, they put him in that flat ball screen and he absolutely tortured the Bucks.
It was torture watching that last night. He said he made everybody on the Nets better last night. Kevin Durant did. Does Giannis do that for the Bucks, Greg? Does Giannis make everyone on the Bucks better?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think he has learned to correctly find open shooters. So I look at Bryn Forbes, great example, right? He was a nice shooter for the Spurs, but then he comes to Milwaukee, and all of a sudden he's a top five shooter in the league. Giannis is a part of that, no question. Giannis is a part of that because of the attention he draws when he starts to make his move. Be it a wall, be it a double team, whatever the case. When he makes the correct play and finds an open shooter, a guy like Bryn Forbes is certainly a beneficiary, and I think his numbers speak to that. So ultimately, I say yes. But I've never seen Giannis do quite what Kevin Durant did last night.
I haven't either, and I do wonder this, Jesse, because I've said this before, that in my opinion, Wisconsin sports fans have some measure of an inferiority complex, and we're always worried about our best players leaving. We've obviously had, from my perspective, it goes back to Gary Sheffield. For some who are older, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And so there was a lot of fear about Giannis not sticking around. But I think that there are some aspects to his game that critics point to, and that we saw instances of last night that make it a little bit tough to defend him when you're talking about his shortcomings. I don't know what Kevin Durant's shortcomings were or are, but I didn't see any last night as I watched him perform at such an incredibly high level.
And I think that's why we all agree Aaron Rodgers should come back to the Packers, too. He makes everybody better on the offense. Like, I don't think there's any question about that. It's something to consider when you talk about MVP conversations. PJ Carlissimo was on the ESPN radio call of the Bucks-Nets game last night and throughout the majority of the series. And he joined Freddie and Fitzsimmons after the game last night and talked about the desperation in Game 6 that may actually benefit the Bucks.
I just think that it's the end. It's put the uniforms away. When it's a desperation game, I think the team that has the desperation, it's not a problem. I think they're going home where they've played very well. They obviously know they can win.
Sure.
They know they have to win. I mean, it's literally as simple as, if we lose, we put the uniforms away. If we win, we get to play again and play for an NBA championship. I'm not worried about their motivation.
I'm a little stumped by this one. Greg, is there any merit to saying that a team with their backs against the wall losing Game 5 may actually play better in Game 6 and could be in a good position the rest of the series?
No, I think that the takeaway there is the home team has won every game in this series. To me, that's the bigger deal. In worlds of desperation, maybe you pull a couple of different levers because you have no choice. I believe the Nets were in a desperate situation last night, sensing they may have to play without two of their big three, and thinking, I don't know if we can do this with just Kevin Durant. And had Kyrie Irving been healthy, I don't think James Harden plays last night. So that was a lever pulled to try and reverse the trend. The Bucks have to do something similar. On the home floor is a good start. They have never, however, won a Game 7 on the road in franchise history. So that remains an uphill battle. But you got to get it there. You got to get it to Game 7. But I think they can.
Let's full disclosure here, Jesse. Let's just be honest with our fans. And since you have become close personal friends with Latrell Sprewell, you are discrediting PJ Carlissimo's take, which I thought was very insightful. I don't get it at all. All because you're Mr. Sprewell's buddy.
What is this? Three steps back to take five steps forward? Like, that was a bad loss last night. I'd much rather be up 3-2 going into Game 6. What are we doing?
Whoa, Nelly!
All right, last question for you, and this is a unique thing for me tonight. I can't remember the last time I was excited to watch a TV show, like a normal TV show, not news, not sports, not a presidential debate, nothing like that. Just a TV show live on like cable TV. I am excited tonight to watch my favorite show, The Blacklist, live because it's like...
Well, it's not live.
Well, yeah, not live, but the original debut of the episode. Not on Netflix, not DVR'd. And that'd be cool if they did it that way. But it's supposed to be like they're unveiling a bunch of secrets that have been 8 years in the making. Like, it's a big deal tonight. They're promoting the heck out of it. I'm excited. I'm going to watch it at 9 o'clock tonight. When is the last time you were excited to watch a quote-unquote normal TV show? Not a live event. Just a normal show.
Because I'm going to have to think of an answer if this one is ineligible. Does The Last Dance count? Documentary being shown at regular intervals throughout the month of April 2020.
Yes,
Sydney and I were watching together.
I think it counts.
If it's the first airing, Like, it wasn't like, yeah, we'll go back and watch that. But we are excited to watch it. Like, it was appointment TV for you. It was appointment viewing for you in Sydney.
You got to sit down as it aired over a network. That is by far my answer.
Yes. Yeah. That works. I was intrigued by that, too. I wouldn't have thought of that answer. And I wasn't really a Jordan guy growing up at all. But I was intrigued by the entire documentary. Is it weird if I say Survivor? Mrs. Matzik, Emily, my lovely wife, is a big Survivor fan. And, yes, we would get excited about watching the Survivor finale together.
Yeah.
That feels like it was 2 years ago we saw the last one. Might have been just over a year.
I think that's
but that also shows how little non-sports we watch in the household. Sports and cartoons kind of dominate.
Well,
and
that, yeah, that or just, I mean, the amount of shows that are on Netflix or that you watch on, like, that's not how most people watch shows anymore. Which, like, Survivor to me, Greg, was my answer, too. That's the last one that I was excited to watch, like, in real time. So this is a unique thing for me tonight. But 9 o'clock, NBC. I'll be there.
So the last television, like, pre non-documentary, like, acting show that would fall under this for me was the first year of True Detective on HBO, when it was Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey. I would make sure that on Sunday night I watched. I was looking forward to that. So that's what, like 5 years
ago?
Yeah,
that's a while back. Yeah.
So that does not happen much for me. You could text in your show to answer that question. We can see if we can get a few texts before we run out of time. 844-770-3776. We'll wrap up Greg's guest stint as our cousin sub of the day these 2 days on Wilde and Tausch next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch is presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
The show discussing the Bucks' loss in Game 5 that now has them on the brink of elimination. Game 6 tomorrow night at Fiserv Forum as they will try to force a Game 7 back in Brooklyn. And we blamed or cited a lot of reasons for it, right? Kevin Durant was awesome. Their defense failed them. Their offense stagnated, eroded, I believe, was Greg's word. Giannis fumbling away an opportunity to get a crucial bucket, or the fadeaway baseline J that he takes when James Harden is going to defend him alone. I did not think of us as being a reason for losing. But, Jesse, according to the talk and text line, we bear a measure of responsibility for last night's outcome? Really?
Kevin in the Carolinas. I don't know if he's, like...
We're huge in the Carolinas.
Is he standing
South Carolina, North Carolina, West Carolina, East Carolina?
He's either got huge. 1 foot in both state, or he's, like, in a mountain where he can't really tell which one he's in. Kevin in the Carolinas, listening to yesterday's show through the great Wisconsin On Demand. And now I know how the Bucks blew last night's lead. You guys jinxed them. Way to go. What did we do?
You know why you didn't think of that, Jason, as, you know, putting it on us? Because you're sane. That's why. This is insane. The jinx. Occasionally, I will use the tweet, start the bus, when I feel like a game is over and the team leading is going to run away with the victory. And occasionally, I get the, oh, don't jinx it. That's way too early. I never think of it that way because I, too, like Jason, am sane. I am not insane. Suggesting a jinx is logical and teams somehow pay attention to this stuff is insane.
So that was the defense I was looking for. Because I don't think our asterisk conversation caused the defeat, and nor do I think, frankly, Kevin in whatever Carolinas thinks that. I'm sure that was tongue-in-cheek, much like Aaron Rodgers' comments. But when you read them, this is the problem, Aaron and Kevin. You don't get the tone. Regardless, that'll do it for us today. Greg, we appreciate you stepping into the breach. I'm sure Tausch has more planned off days, so I'm sure you'll be back.
Guys, I enjoy it. Honestly, it's very much a treat of mine to join you on the show. So thank you much for having me.
Greg, Nets in, Nets in six, Nets in seven, or Bucks in seven?
Nets in seven.
Ooh.
Greg will be back at some point. We hope his back is better when he comes back. That'll do it for us today. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us. Thanks to Uncle Homer for joining us and hanging up on us at one point. And thanks to you. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.